in the power of His might. Praise our God. That's where I want to be. I want to be strong in the Lord, not strong in myself. So that's one of the big battles of Christians in America today, this hour, is we want to rise up and do something for God, but it's all in ourselves. But we want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We want God to be able to have His way in our moments of weakness. We need a manifestation of the Holy Ghost a lot of times in our moments of temptation. Not just around the altar, but when the enemy fires that dart, that visitation of the Holy Ghost rises up within us, and that shield of faith, pow! Not today, devil. God's word says. Wow. I don't know too many people that go about their every day doing something like that. You know, maybe we need to try that from time to time. Just verbalize it out loud. Say, not today, devil. God's word says. And I'm following my God. Woo! Praise God. That might do something for anybody and everybody around you. Bless you. Praise God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Psalm 71:16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. Wow. You want to go in the power of your God? Then keep praising Him for His righteousness. Keep praising Him for who He is. Keep Him on your mind of how that He has given you this day. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What is that? That is a statement of I surrender all to You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So next time you read Philippians 4:13, remember, I surrender all, Lord Jesus. That's why I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I surrender to You that Your will be done. Praise God. Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. His working. What He's doing. Praise God. Hudson Taylor once noted that God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. A lot of times, if we think we're strong, we lean on ourselves. But when we're weak, that's when He's strong. Zechariah 4:6. Then He answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Say, not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's a statement of God to reassure Zerubbabel that it's not your strength, it's not your power, but it's Mine. The Spirit of God. Amen. That's how mountains will become plains. Go read that context. Zechariah 4:6. That's what God was telling Zechariah. By My power, by My Spirit, the mountains can be flattened to plains. You see, we got to understand this power of God. It comes into our lives not by mere emotional, intense willpower. It comes into our lives by emotional, intense surrendering of the will. Hallelujah. This is why we can rise up and say, I am going to do this and I'm going to do it right, and we'll fall flat on our face the next day. Because we're not going about it right. We're not humbling our hearts, being broken before God and saying, God, by your grace, by your word, by your power, I'm following you today. Wow, that's a little bit different, isn't it? But that's the power of the child of God. I want to read this little quote here. Don't misunderstand this. Some may misunderstand this and might even get scared about serving God. But you need not, because you got to understand God's ways are not man's ways. And when we line ourselves up with God's ways, we are richly blessed. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. You've got to realize that statement is a statement of self-achievement. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. See, that gives you an understanding of the right way and the wrong way here. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. James put it like this: you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. This is why it is so vital for you and I as children of God to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, so that we can have the Spirit of God directing us in a greater measure, in a greater way, and so that we can then begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, so that God's will can be done and not our own. I'll tell you right up front, if you are making decisions and making moves and doing things without hearing from God, then you're probably going the wrong way. Because we're to bring every thought, every imagination, every emotion, every feeling under subjection to God. This is why many struggle and many battle with their emotions and their feelings, because they haven't brought them to the altar. They haven't laid their Isaac down yet. Some folks don't operate off emotions and feelings at all. They operate more off a rationality thing, but then at the same time, they think they're so smart, they don't listen to God. This is why everything's got to be brought under subjection to Jesus Christ. We can't do it right, but He can. Hallelujah. This is why we always encourage our young people, don't you pick out who you think you're going to marry. You ask God who you're going to marry. That's not just for young people. That's for everybody. You ask God what He wants you to do and how He wants to fulfill the need of your life. The needs are real. But don't go about trying to fill them your own way, because you will make a great mistake. Don't do that. Let God direct, acknowledge Him in that area, and He will direct your path. It's difficult, isn't it, Sister Lindsay? It's difficult to wait for that right guy. It's difficult to wait for that right woman. Very difficult. Very hard. Man, I wish I had a dime for every time somebody said, "Oh, but it's so hard." Is it really? It's hard on our flesh and our feelings and our wants. But just like this gentleman, he didn't get everything he wanted, did he? He got everything he needed, everything he hoped for, a deeper, closer walk with God, which will not only bless you as an individual, it'll bless your family, it'll bless your marriage, it'll bless your children. I mean, praise God. You want to be a blessing to your children? Then get totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. And you will become a blessing to your children, to your family. Start doing God's will instead of your own, and then you will be richly blessed. Hallelujah. And God will begin to let that overflow into all those that are around you. Once again, humanism is our biggest enemy. I say that from experience. I got saved when I was 23 years old, and I was so wrapped up in my own self-will and self-life. And when I met Jesus Christ, all that had to die. And it was no longer me making decisions on what I thought was right. I had to start making decisions on what Jesus Christ thought was right. Here's one of the biggest ones. I'm a miser. That's putting it mildly, in a sense. Penny pincher. Does that sound better? That, you know, not wanting to spend money for things I didn't want to spend money for. Is that getting down to where anybody else is living yet? This is like when I'm, you know, 23 years old, 24 years old, and just got saved, just got in church, and oh, the tithe thing came up. Nobody in here has a problem with tithe. Surely you know better than that. We've preached on it. We've taught on it. And, you know, but it's just like everything else. Just because you've heard it once or twice, 1,500 times, you know, sometimes you just don't get it done. So you get serious about wanting to hold a God. And then I'm thinking of many times, you know, when different ones, you know, God's really asking them to do something. They're stepping out and they want to make sure our tithes paid up, because we want to make sure God can bless us. You know, richly blessed, that's what I'm talking about here this morning. I'm trying to hurry. So here I am. I like to spend my money for what I want to spend it for, and my wife wants to go visit her mom. She lives 70 miles away. I drive a truck that gets 15 miles a gallon. Gas was cheap back then. It was only a dollar something. Still yet. I mean, man, 15, you calculate 15 miles to the gallon. And we're going 140, 150 miles. That's 10 gallon of gas. We've only got $20 left. Actually, we didn't have anything. Well, we did. We had enough money to put some gas in the truck, and then we were done. Anybody else been there? And God's dealing with me to pay tithe. I take the last one. All right, dear, we're going. Loving every minute of it. Yeah, ever been there? Well, I know Matthew has, but anyway. So here we're going on this wonderful trip to visit mama-in-law. You know, and I'm really, really not happy about it. You know, I had moments like that quite often. I had moments like that when we went to the Pentecostal church for the first time. You know, I don't want to be here. Ah, but thank God He's got better plans than what we do. Anyway, long story short, you know, I'm just irritated. You know, we just spent our last money going to visit mother-in-law. You know, I could think of 101 different things we could have spent that money on. We could have went out and ate. We could have, you know. And then here's God dealing with me about paying my tithes. So, man, this is just a miserable weekend. And we get back to the house, and we had a place where we kept our cash. It was cold cash. And I don't know why, but I just went back to the place where we kept it, and I knew it was empty. But it wasn't empty when I went back. And let me tell you, I know when the money's gone. And it wasn't empty, Brother Matthew, when I went back. And I opened up that little container, and there sat a $20 bill. And I was standing right there in my kitchen, crying kind of like what I'm crying right now. And I said, God, I'll pay my tithe. Because he showed me there was more going on right there than what I ever dreamed. Because I needed something like that to have something like this too. God showed me right there, son, if you'll serve me, if you'll obey me, you will always be taken care of. So right there, I started paying my tithe. Haven't missed it since. And if I got behind, I made sure and got caught up. It amazes me, a lot of folks may miss paying their tithe, but they never think about catching up on it at all. And they wonder why they just can't get blessed. They wonder why things just, you know, it just, why do they always have? Now you understand it. Because we put God first. And we give God his first, and you will be richly blessed. Hallelujah. You spend your money wisely, and you will have more of it. That's just Brother Pepper. No, that's God's word, really, it is. But, I mean, you know, just, hey, you want to save money, then put it in a savings account and don't spend it, and you'll save it. Oh, but then I won't have enough to what? Oh, hang on now. I won't have enough money to buy that Red Bull. Oh, Red Bull. I'm not talking about Red Bull, but you know how much that stuff costs? You know, I mean, hey, just drink 15 cups of coffee and you have the same caffeine. You know, and it's a whole lot cheaper. You can make that at home. Are you getting the picture here? I'm just saying, richly blessed. It's what was that one? I got wisdom. Got wise. I asked for riches that I might be happy. Everybody always wants more money, don't they? But that's not what I got. I got poverty that I might be wise with my riches. Praise our God. Richly blessed. Richly blessed. You cannot ever go wrong serving God and obeying God's word and obeying God's spirit. I'm going to throw this one in here. I'm going to wrap it up, and we're going to have a Father's Day presentation. Help me, Jesus. How many realize what conviction's for? Well, I'm going to share it with you. First of all, I'm going to tell you, conviction has nothing to do with the child of God. That may raise some eyebrows and... No, conviction is for sinners that don't know God, and they've got to be convicted of their sin. So conviction's not for the child of God. Why? Because the child of God has a relationship with God. The child of God's filled with the Holy Ghost. The child of God will be dealt with by the Spirit of God in such a kind, wonderful way. People that say, well, I don't feel any conviction about it, that's fine, that's great, but what did God say about it? What does God's voice say about it? That still, small voice sometimes has no conviction with it at all. None whatsoever. What is it? It's a test of love. will you follow me? That was not what he said to Peter. Will you follow me? And so conviction is not a matter of conviction. It's a matter of relationship. What's pleasing to God and what's the still small voice of God saying? Because there's a lot of things that are not wrong within itself. But God may not want you to do it. Because of who you are, where you are, and what he wants to use you for. That's where relationship has nothing to do with conviction. The child of God has nothing but joy, peace, power, and directives of God. Now, the only time the child of God will find themselves under conviction, if there's sin involved, then there will be conviction, because conviction is of sin. But just your everyday living, sometimes you need to know the voice of God. Don't be looking for conviction. Listen for directive. And you will know what you need to do, whether you feel conviction or not. Hallelujah. That's how a lot of folks start going astray, because they don't feel conviction. No, you're not. But God's talking, screaming. No, it's just a still, small voice saying, you know better than that. You know better than that. Oh, because you've been taught God's word, God's ways, and you know better than that. But I don't feel any conviction. You don't have to feel conviction if you're listening for directives of God. God, your will be done. God, I want to be that light to shine. I want to be everything you need me to be, what you want me to be. I want to be all out for Jesus. Praise God. Could we stand together one more time here this morning? Hallelujah. Father in heaven, I praise your mighty name. I thank you, Lord, for your love that you show us this morning. I thank you, Lord, for encouraging our hearts, refreshing our souls. I thank you, Lord, for opportunity for fresh commitment to Jesus Christ, a fresh surrender to the Holy Ghost of God, a fresh walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. A renewal, Lord God, of my commitment, my dedication, my consecration, Lord, to your kingdom. Hallelujah. For these last days, Lord, thank you for the strength, Lord God, that we can run our last mile home, Lord, the last stretch of this race you have placed us in, Lord, looking for your coming, Lord, anticipating it. Father in heaven, I praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for those saints of God that have come to the house of God this morning, and you have met us here, God. I praise your mighty name, Lord. I praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the church said hallelujah. Praise our God. You can be seated again. And